I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, executive editor at Information Security Media Group. I'm at HIMSS 25 today, speaking with John Freshour, who is vice president and CISO at New York Presbyterian Hospital. John is also a member of the ISMG Cyber Ed Board. Hi, John.
Great to be here.
So, John, here at HIMSS, you were on a panel discussing web browser security issues. Why is that such an important issue for the healthcare sector right now?
Well, I think our customer base in terms of providers, clinicians, is moving to a model where they're working from anywhere, on any device, in any kind of internet circumstance. And so because they're using untrusted devices, devices we've never managed, don't have agents on, whatever, we've got to figure out how to control the, let's call it, security of the services that we provide to them on these devices. In whatever state they come to us in. One of our big programs is Community Connect, which is an extension of our EHR to local community providers who bring their own equipment. This is a huge benefactor for us because we can kind of incorporate patients into the NYP system through providers that otherwise aren't in our hospitals or aren't in our medical groups, but we've got to accept the risk of untrusted devices. So a managed browser and this whole approach is could be a very good, clean way for us to move all these web services into kind of a controlled footprint.
So with that being said, what are some of the cyber threats or cyber issues or, the exploitation of weaknesses in these web browsers that are worrisome?
It's not so much the security of the web browser. It's the service by which is provided through the web browser. So as an example, you might have a traditional data loss prevention agent on a managed device that's looking for people dumping PHI into a GenAI site, a ChatGPT site. Say, here's 10,000 medical record numbers. Tell me how many zeros are in here. I'm making up silly circumstances, but this is a very real exposure risk. A managed browser might have a DLP agent that would catch that on an unmanaged machine, and you could police that and say, that's not allowed. But there's other threats that come through a misconfigured site or service, a plugin, maybe a redirect to an untrusted site where you just don't know if maybe there's a threat on there. Maybe there's a phishing threat. Maybe there's a malicious code, a vulnerability or something that by kind of containerizing that web service in this controlled environment, aka the managed browser, that you can reduce the threat.
And so what are some of the steps to try to avoid these sorts of scenarios where that could be a danger? How do you fortify the web browser security or get around those issues?
Well, I mean, with any managed service, you've got to configure it. So, with a managed browser, you'd probably have a proxy service, a data loss prevention service, an endpoint protection service. You might have some type of filtering capability to not allow certain types of code or certain types of inputs or whatever, input sanitization, if you call it. And these are the things that you'd need to turn on in the managed browser so that, say, somebody at Starbucks on their iPhone and who wants to update a patient chart, is these controls are presented to them in a transparent way and you're not incurring any risk.
So what other things are you kind of watching right now when it comes to security technologies and best practices that maybe are overlooked in healthcare?
Oh, geez, what's not overlooked? I can tell you that our focus really is all about identity. Identity is kind of the root of every security control that we consider, whether it's authentication, whether it's endpoint protection, exposure, breach reduction, or risk. Every left of boom or right of boom kind of planning or activity starts for us with identity, a concept of digital identity.
Now, let's talk a little bit about medical devices, because that also came up several times during the conference here so far. Is there progress being made, do you think, with the medical devices? Because I know the FDA has been raising the bar for newer devices, and there was a conversation earlier about S-bombs and how they're supposed to be part of what the manufacturers now submit to the FDA. But I guess there's a lot of holes that these kind of things kind of fall through now.
Yeah, so, I mean, some companies are exemplary. Abbott is one of those exemplary companies that is very forthright about SBOMs and producing the information. We appreciate that. I think all HDOs appreciate that. And then some are just harder to compile or compose because they're old systems on unsupported code or whatever they are. But I think it's getting better. It's not best. We have a lengthy bureaucratic process to get devices pushed through the FDA. I understand it. MDMs understand it. It's a complicated process, but I can tell you we need a lot more data. I think data is going to save our butts with risk in biomed. Data around ports, services, protocols, whatever it is. The more data that we can consume betters and hardens and allows us to segment the environment.
And what kind of data? What would be helpful in knowing about these medical devices that could help you as a user of these devices?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Ports and protocols list is first and foremost to me because I'm a network nerd by history. So ports and protocols list. A software services list. In the government, these are known as the PIPL and the CISL. The software services list tells you, their code base, what libraries they're using, where those libraries came from. We'd also like to know integration points and data flows. So some type of data flow diagram that shows us how either PHI or other sensitive information flows through the device or is manipulated by the device, some type of visualization of that. The data de-identification is the big buzzword now. Everybody, don't worry about it. You don't need the BAA because we've de-identified the data. Okay, but how did you do it? That's a little, there are supported methods for de-identification, no doubt. But, the expert method, I don't know if it's that strong. And so I think at a minimum, we want to know if you're de-identifying the data, how are you doing it?
And when it comes to medical devices, are there certain categories of devices that are most worrisome, that have sort of lagged in doing what they should be doing?
I think the most worrisome category is visual devices, PACS imagery devices, radiology devices, sonograms, ultrasounds, things that are producing 3D or 2D imagery because they typically have overlays of PHI with MRNs, date of births, whatever. And it's kind of hard to de-identify that data. You can just, black it out with blocks. You can suppress metadata, but you don't. It's, and there's methods. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's a little worrisome for me how little of it is done.
How about in terms of devices being the target of an attack? How worrisome is that? We really don't hear about that. You kind of hear more about these devices being brought down because the network has to go down in response to an attack. How about those devices being the target?
It's definitely a possibility. You don't see it much. You see most of it as a secondary effect of ransomware, infecting sometimes. I think it was a fetal heart rate monitor in Alabama, was it? A couple years ago that resulted in unfortunate loss of life. You don't see too much, direct attack on biomedical devices. You see a lot of indirect attack. They become infected because they're also of this type or this, member of this family or something like that. So you don't see too much of it. Is it a concern? It's absolutely a concern. I think it's not so much of a concern about loss of data as much as it is, as you mentioned, outage of that system.
And finally, what are some of your own top cybersecurity initiatives or priorities this year for your organization? Anything that you could talk about that you're working on?
Yeah, we've got, this is a big year for us. I'd say one of our biggest projects right now is individual biomedical device segmentation and doing those traffic analyses, getting a picture of an individual device that we can fingerprint and use across the enterprise to apply micro-segmentation to individual devices. We also have a large passwordless endeavor. One of our directors is going to be speaking at Identiverse about this. Shameless plug for him. But we have developed a transparent, nearly zero-touch, no username type in, no password type in, passwordless authentication mechanism for our non-clinical application stack, which is working terrifically well, based a lot on behavioral biometrics that we're collecting. I think those are two very large projects. We're going to be evolving and probably as one of the leaders in this space, our physical badge system to incorporate technologies like NFC and BLE and do also behavioral biometric for physical access control to our facility. So we've got a lot of stuff this year, a lot of big projects that we're taking on to kind of push us and keep us at that forefront of leadership.
Well, thanks so much, John. I've been speaking to John Freshour. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.